They turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Yes. No, that's not John the Baptist. John the Apostle John is not John the Baptist. Not the same person. John did. The Lord wrote it through John. The Apostle. Yes. Yes, John. John the big John. John the Baptist had a very specific purpose. Very specific purpose. Once he fulfilled it, his time on the earth was short. To be real honest with you. Yes, ma'am. John chapter 1, and we're going to start out in verse 6. Now, this is all going towards the Holy Ghost. All of this. To learn about John the Baptist is to learn about the Holy Ghost. And he is not the predecessor to the Holy Ghost. He's the predecessor to Jesus Christ. Now, he did not, he was not that light. You're going to see that. Christ is the light. But this is the man that was chosen. And we're going, not chosen, sent. We're going to look at this fella, and I want you to keep in remembrance, and I know I say this jokingly a lot, keep in remembrance that they call him John the Baptist specifically for a reason, because Jesus wanted that title to pass down through the years. Now listen, don't buy into the fact that we were called Anabaptists first, and then we were called Baptists later after we dropped Anabaptists. I'll give you just short history on that. Anabaptist means rebaptizer. The Catholics gave us that title because we were not willing to buy into the fact that infants need to be baptized. Nowhere in the scripture will you find infants being baptized. Infants do not need to be baptized. You're not baptized till after you're saved. Okay? Salvation, then baptism. Now, they gave us this title because they hated our guts. Okay? And they wanted to put us down as rebaptizers. Now, understand this. We are not Anabaptists. And a lot of very good men will say we are Anabaptists. Our church started with the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. It started because he sent a man. He did not call him anything but John the Baptist. This John the Baptist baptized our Savior. He was baptized into the membership of the Baptist church that he started. We are before. You're not Protestant.
Amen. That's right.
You are not Protestant. We're against everything, but we're not Protestant. We're Protestant against the world, yes, but we're not Protestant. Protestants were the churches that were birthed because of the tyranny of the Catholic Church. We were around 300 and some odd years before the Catholic Church ever came. Okay? Well, our religion, I hate to even use that word. Our church, the local church, was founded 300 plus years long before the Catholic Church ever came to fruition. They call it the Mother Church. It's not the Mother Church. It's not, and you can have a mother if you want. I'll take the daddy. Amen. Jesus Christ started our church. Amen. Okay? So we're around long before. Now, that's not an argument point that you're going to sit there and get violent with somebody over. But we're not Protestant. We're not Anabaptist. We're Baptist, period. There's not that, don't you, and you'll hear that term eventually throughout your life. You'll hear that we are a spawn of church that came because we didn't like what the Catholics were doing. Hogwash. Hogwash. That's not true. Okay? No, just started that out. Now, if you look at verse 6, I want you to understand this. Very important that you get this verse. And we're going to hold on to this verse throughout the teaching about John the Baptist. If you look at this verse, the Bible says there was a man sent from who? God. Make no mistake, this man was sent from God. That's what the Bible says. Take it up with the author. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. So we know which John we're talking about. The Bible clarifies, because there's more than one John throughout all the scriptures. So to clarify what John they're talking about, the Bible says the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. The light, not John, the light. He was not that light. The Bible's very specific. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He's got a job. That is his job. You were given one specific purpose from heaven, and that specific purpose was to clarify the path of the one that was to come after, whose shoes he's not able to tie, or not shouldn't be tying. That's how low John was, and he knew his position, by the way. Now, if you keep reading, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, obviously, this is talking about John the Baptist, and this is talking about Jesus Christ. They are intertwined throughout the Scripture. They are very, very seldom are they ever apart, okay? Because John was given an absolute charge from heaven itself to do a very important job. And by the way, he was the only one sanctioned to do his job that Christ had him to do. Now, this is all going to tie into the Holy Ghost. This is all going to tie into the Spirit of the Lord, that he is going to send that comforter, that wonderful person, the third person of the Trinity, that we all now have and are thankful to have it if you're saved. So if you're saved, you've got the Holy Ghost residing inside of you, praise the Lord, but you didn't have that until the Lord gave the Holy Ghost as comforter. Amen? Okay. Now, who was John? It's a question you have to ask. Who was John? Why is he important? You understand something. We didn't come about on accident. The church that you are residing in today is not here by happenstance. It's not here because some man dreamed up a better religion. It is not here because men set forth the independent fundamental movement. By the way, independent fundamental are terms that are recent, because we have to keep clarifying who we are. We have to keep clarifying who we are because the world keeps taking offshoots of who we are. Now we have to be independent, fundamental, King James Bible, believing that it's inspired Baptists. Why? Because there's now offshoots that don't believe the book's inspired. So now they have to go over there and we have to stay over here. And by the way, we've never moved. Over here is where we've always been. We are a church that completely relies, this, and you got to get this now. This is what separates us from everybody else. We completely rely on the Bible as our, not our final authority, our only authority. There's no other authority. There's not like you go through 65 authorities and then you finally get to the Bible. And that's your final one. No, there's no other authority. I'm not the authority. Preacher's not the authority. Brother Bill's not the authority. This is the authority, the only authority. If it's not in the Bible, then it's not right. Amen? Okay, now if you read this, I want you to, what does John have to do with us today? It's very important that we understand the history of Jesus was the miracle birth. No doubt about it. Born of a virgin, prophesied. But to be real honest with you, John also was prophesied. John also was the birth of a miracle. Now, Zacharias is the father. There's your difference. But he was still a miracle. And I want you to see some things as we go through Luke chapter 1. Because it's very important that you know, a lot of people go through, well, I just come to this church because I think Brother Dave's good looking. I don't blame you. You need to know why you believe what you believe. Seriously. You need to know. I don't want, that's why I want you to, Why do you think I'm challenging you to read your Bible so much this year? Why do you think I'm giving you such headaches about these Bible calendars? I'm giving you such headaches about these Bible calendars because I want you to know that what we preach to you is in here. We can go day to day to day and you can hold us up and say, well, what he's saying must be true. That's dangerous walking, brother. That's dangerous walking. I'm going to do my dead level best, Brother Bill, to never give you a falsehood, but I'm a man. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a. So I can't not promise you that someday I'm not going to mess up and say something wrong, but I got news for you. I can tell you unequivocally on authority of the Word of God that the Word of God is never going to mess up. As long as you've got the Word of God, which is why I'm such a stickler. I've got to know what the Bible says perfectly. I can't have one word out of place, because if I have one word out of place, then what does that give me? A whole thing could be out of place. How do I know? I'm not smart enough to discern. I've got to hold on and have faith in what my Bible says to be true. Now, if we look at Luke, Chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 5. To understand who John is, in my opinion, you have to go through his lineage as well, as far back as we can. I'm not going to labor this a whole lot. But if you look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Zacharias is John the Baptist's father. And yes, he is his father in every way. He's dad. Okay, it's not that much of a miraculous birth. Zacharias is his dad. Now, Zacharias was a priest of the course of Abia. Now, I don't say to you that I pronounced that right, but I don't care. So if you look at that, I want you to turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 24. I want to teach you a little bit of something today. Go back to 1 Chronicles, and I'm not going to split hairs over this. I really, I'm just showing you something because I think it's neat. The course of Abia means when David set apart, he divided the priests into several duties. There was 24 of them, okay? 24 duties that the priest or the father at that time through his sons would carry out, these certain duties. Okay, now I want you to look at verse 1 of chapter 24 in 1 Chronicles. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. Now Aaron was the high priest. Amen? The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Now you go to the second verse here. Nadab and Abihu removed themselves. Look at this. Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. Now, Nadab and Abihu died because they did not obey God. Okay? They did not obey the Lord. They offered the wrong thing. And I want you to understand this. When you get into the Bible, you better know what that thing says before you think that you know what it says. There's a lot of times that we think we know what it says, but we really don't know what it says. And we act upon what we think. And it's not that Nadab and Abihu didn't do the offering to which they were charged. They did the offering, but they didn't offer what God had commanded them to offer, and they died. Now listen, that's not the first time that happened. Way back in the first part of the Bible, when Cain offered what he was not supposed to offer, eventually Cain was cast out. Why? Because he brought an offering. Hey, I brought an offering, but it's not what God commanded to offer. So you got to understand something. Throughout all the Bible's very particular about what God wants. Not only wants, desires. Not only desires, demands. See, the Bible is not something that we can just banner about and we're going to get as close as we can. No, we should run this church house according to what the Bible says. We can't run this church differently than what the Bible says, inflicting our own ideas and doing what we want to do and deciding that, well, we're going to take up an offering this way or we're going to do things this way. Listen, if you're not doing it the way God has asked you to do it, then you are doing it wrong. There is no middle ground where we're close as we can be. No, we have got to do it the way God has commanded. Do you see any other avenue? Now, if you look at this, they divided these up into 24 divisions. David distributed them, verse 3, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech, the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar, there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. So there was how many divisions? 24, 16 on one side and 8 on the other. Amen? Okay, I know this is not necessarily important, but I wanted to show you this because I think it's neat. If the course of Abia that shows up in the New Testament, Zacharias was following what he's been charged with from way back here. Amen? If you look at verse 7, now the first lot came forth to Jehoiarib, and the second to Jediah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malkijah, the sixth to Majimon, the seventh to Hakaz, the eighth to Abijah. Abijah in Hebrew is Abia in Greek. Okay? That is the eighth lot, right? The eighth division. Eighth is a new beginning. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now, if you go back over here, the course of Abia, what was the course of Abia? We'll find out here in a second. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. That's Elizabeth. Okay? So far, John's mom and dad, Zacharias, was a priest that you're going to see a little bit later, offered incense. That was his job. Now, he did this job, and Elizabeth, his wife, was of the daughters of Aaron. She was passed down. Aaron was the high priest. Okay? Look at this now. If you look at verse 6, her name was Elizabeth, verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. They were saved, and they did their job the way God commanded. Is that not what that's saying? Amen? So the Lord didn't just pick out, and he could have, don't misread me, God can do anything with anybody, but he didn't hear. Here he picked out two people that did what they were supposed to do, when they were supposed to do it, how they were supposed to do it. Amen? And he picked out these two people, and it's amazing, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth could not have children. Physically could not have children. And they both were now well stricken in years. That means they were old. So not only was she barren and could never have children, I'm sure it wasn't for lack of trying. They tried to have children, but the Lord had not blessed them with children, and now she was well stricken in years, probably past the time of woman. Not only was she barren, now she ceased the time of women. Okay, now look at this. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, he was doing, in the midst of doing his job, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, incense, if you go back, incense was a type of prayer. Even forward, Revelation talks about it as well. Incense being likened to prayer, it's in Revelation 8, like 4 and 5 or something like that. You have these incense being burned, the smoke rising up to the Lord, a sweet-smelling savor. If you look further in the Bible, it talks about it being the prayers of the saints. This offering that Zacharias is doing is a symbol or type of the prayers of the people being offered unto the Lord. Now, all the people, if you look at this in verse 10, the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. That's because that's what they were supposed to do. Amen? Are you following me? Am I boring you today? Okay. Now, they were praying without at the time of incense. Now, look at this. During this, it'll give you a hint on what Zacharias and Elizabeth were doing at this time. Look at this. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Well, yeah, if a person just all of a sudden appeared in front of you, you'd be afraid too. And it was an angel, no less. And I know which one it was, by the way. We'll get to that in a minute. And the angel standing there, and Zacharias, man, there's nobody else supposed to be in here but me. That was his job, amen? Now, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. How do you know my name? Is it really? I mean, seriously, think about that for a minute. That's awesome, isn't it? For thy prayer is heard. So not only was he offering incense as a type for the prayer of the whole multitude, up with that smoke went his prayers as well. Now understand, the smoke wasn't taking the prayers anywhere. It was a type. Okay? The prayers, come boldly to the throne of grace, they were always able to have God hear their prayers, whether they're burning incense or not. It was what the Lord commanded them to do, and their belief in what they were doing, not in the work, but the belief in what God had told them, and they were being obedient to God. That's what made them do right. Amen? That's what the right was. Now, if you look at this now, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And what was the prayer? And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. What was his prayer? Lord, please give me a son. That was his prayer. I had to, because that's what the angel said. Amen? Now, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, wait a minute. Where did he get his name? He got his name from the Lord. He got his station from the Lord. He got his birth from the Lord. We read back, remember, I'm going to have to hold on to this verse all the way through this. He was sent from the Lord. There was a man sent from God. Amen? Okay, now, let's go on further. By the way, the word Elizabeth means righteous. And God the swearer, in other words, God swore through her. Amen? That's just really taking liberty, but I love that, by the way. Whatever. Take it whatever it's worth. I liked it. And thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. How many would love that? This angel is telling Zacharias, your son is going to be great in the sight of the Lord. I would love that. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall, listen to this now, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. John had to be saved just like the rest of us. Can't get outside of that. But let me explain something to you. The Holy Ghost has anointed. By the way, I want you to see this. We're talking about the Holy Ghost throughout all this. Amen? But I think we need to be very careful to watch what the Holy Ghost does. Right? We can try to bring up our own connotations all we want to. We can get all kinds of commentaries and hear what other men have to say. But you know what? I'd like to see what the Bible has to say about what the Holy Ghost does. Amen? Now, if you look at this, with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb, so the hand of the Lord and the Holy, because the Holy Ghost is one part of the Trinity, okay? They're all intertwined. I don't have any idea how to explain that. Nobody does. They love to tell you they do, but the Trinity has no explanation. Okay? So without trying to explain it, you just say that the Lord, the Holy Ghost in particular, because the Holy Ghost has a very important job at this time. Because the Holy Ghost right now is the reigning part of the Trinity in our lives. Jesus is not here. God is, because the Holy Ghost is here. That part of the Trinity right now, and it's divided up into three different places. If you go back to the Old Testament, God the Father was in charge. He was moving everything. And yes, the Son was the creator. And yes, they were all there. The Holy Spirit was there. But I'm going to tell you, God the Father was in charge. While Jesus walked this earth, Jesus was the one that was in charge. Then when Jesus left, he left us a comforter. Now that comforter has been in charge. And when we all get to heaven, all of them are going to be in charge. Amen. I can't explain it to you. I'm just telling you what has occurred. For a time, about 3 1/3 years or so, the Holy Ghost and the Lord were working directly together. The Lord in the flesh and the Holy Ghost were together. And I'll prove it to you in the Bible. Okay? Those two were working together. And how many wonderful things did they do? At the end of one of the books of the Bible, I believe it's John, you couldn't even contain him in a book. If the whole world had a book, you couldn't contain all the wonderful things that Christ did. Okay? Now, even from a mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, which means they were turned away from the Lord their God. Right? Now, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Is anything in here to John's glory? I mean, this is so far away from John being glorified. It's all about Jesus Christ being glorified. Amen. Talking about the Son, the Lamb. Amen. And Zechariah said unto the angel, who can blame him? Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. And it's not that he had any authority. That stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Hey, you wouldn't either. Say what you want. Man, I'm old. What do you mean I'm having a kid? What? My wife can't have children. Don't you know that? You know what's going on in his mind. He wasn't brave enough to say it, but he was brave enough to question, but he wasn't brave enough to say all he was thinking. Thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. I wondered if at this time, and I want you to just think with me, everybody showed up for prayer. And maybe I'm pulling too much out of this, but I don't believe I am. And I want to challenge you with this because of this verse. It got to a point where, hey man, it's noon, where are you at? Help me now. Hey, good Lord. Hey, preacher. It's noon. My roast is on. Put the fire out, buddy. It's time for me to go home. I wonder if the prayers of the people had become routine. I wonder if it became a part where we came to this altar and said our few little words and phrases, went out of this room saying everything that we've normally said and coming to the realization, I've spent 25 seconds at the altar. That's plenty of time. I'm just asking, what was the attitude of those people to know that it had been too long? Hey, listen, I hope today, and I don't know if it'll happen or not, I hope today that our pastor is so filled with the Holy Ghost today that he preaches until he has no more wind. Why? Because I need it. Why have we become a society just like they were that is accursed with saying, I have a time set for church and that's all the time I'm willing to give it? That was a side note. The people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. They thought he might have. You know what? And again, I draw back to these people's attitudes. Why do they believe it was just that time? Huh? Let me explain something to you. I am a preacher. And I can't apologize for that. A lot of guys do. I'm a preacher, and I'm sorry. I'm not sorry that I'm a preacher. I'm thrilled that I'm a preacher. I spend time studying. I spend time praying. And I can't stand horn tutors. Okay, I just can't stand it. I can't stand people that do that. Mutual Admiration Society is wasted on me. But understand this. I do spend time. I take preaching very seriously. You can't even imagine how seriously I take preaching and the Word of God. When I come here, I don't, whether it's fresh or not to you, I want you to hear what God has to say. I don't want it to be an uncommon occurrence when the Lord comes down. I don't want it to be something where you walk away and say, well, maybe next week he'll have it. I don't want it to be where the people all stand out here and I come in. And let me tell you, I know that there's times that men will lay eggs when they're preaching. I understand all that. But it's not my desire. And I'm going to tell you, more times than not, I want you to leave this facility praising God. Not praising me. Praising the Lord for how great He is. And I don't want you to come in here and not see Him. I don't want you to come in here and not be blessed by Him. Here's the thing. It's not all on me to get that done. See, church is not a spectator sport. You should be prayed up before you get here over what I'm going to deliver you. Because I am just a vessel that the Lord uses. I am nothing. I'm a man sinful. I'm nothing. But when the Lord speaks through me, I'm telling you, preachers should really take this seriously. You are conveying the Lord's message to the people. You should take it as such. You should pray for it as such. Lord, please open my heart to hear what He's got to say. It staggers me that there's people. Zacharias is going into the temple. Not only are they asking what time it is, they're surprised that the Lord showed up. I don't ever want you to be surprised that the Lord showed up. I want you to be expecting the Lord to show up. Amen? Okay. Now, if you look at verse 22 again, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now listen, two reasons she was praying for a child. One, she wanted to fulfill what Zacharias was praying as well. It's not the duty of the wife, but she has a desire to fulfill what she does as a woman. It is what it is. But not only that, even a little bit selfish, she said, now my reproach will be taken away from among men. She was worried about what other people were thinking about her. And back in those days, if you couldn't have children, you were a dog. You just were, and it was horrible, and I don't agree with it. Because just because a person can't have a child does not mean that they're worthless. They're not worthless. They're not worthless at all. They're just, the Lord hasn't blessed them with that ability. Now the Lord says, and by the way, I have kids. It may be a blessing that you can't. But anyways, the Lord blesses her, and she
is thankful first
that she won't be looked at funny anymore. Right? Listen, and it's very difficult to get away from it. Don't think that the blessing God gave you, the first thought should not be, ha-ha, now I can show people that I am Christian. Because let me tell you something. The people that are looking at you that way, they've got faults of their own. And if they're willing to judge, they've probably got worse faults than you. The people that can't wait to judge you are people that are full of faults worse than you. Let me help you out a little bit. If I can't wait, if I come down and say, Brother Mike, you're ugly and nasty. Well, that means I'm uglier and nastier because I'm trying to make myself feel better for knocking him down. That's the way it works. So her first thought was, I am going to get my reproach removed among men because of this blessing. Wonderful, but this blessing is far more than removing the reproach among men. I don't care about the reproach among men. I care about glorifying the Lord. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Listen now, here we're intertwining the two. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail! Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And while she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Well, that's exactly what Zacharias went through too. Amen? Now, if you go through this, you'll understand that the angel Gabriel also named from God her child. And she called him Emmanuel, Jesus. Okay? God with us. Now, if you look at this, it goes down. They're cousins, okay? And Mary said, now I want you to go down a little bit further. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, if you look at this, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. When these two get together, it sure does seem like the Holy Ghost comes out. Amen? And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, if you put these two together at this particular time, the Holy Ghost is with John from his mother's womb. Not necessarily in his mother's womb, from his mother's womb. Okay? He might have been in there at that time too. Irrelevant to me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay? And by the way, it's irrelevant to everything, to be real honest with you. The Holy Ghost being with John is what you need to know. Then Jesus comes. Jesus, and by the way, this isn't necessarily agreed with everybody. I believe Jesus knew who he was. Always. Okay? There, while he's an infant, when he's inside of Mary, the little peanut, he knows who he is. There's never a time that Jesus didn't know who he was. There's never a time that Jesus didn't know what he was doing. And there's never a time that Jesus had a lapse of memory or recollection. Jesus was Jesus all the way through. Now, there's folks out there that will teach you that Jesus didn't know who he was until he was 12. But come on now. You know that's not true. You can't have a lapse of time there. Because if he doesn't know who he was until he's 12 years old, there's a possibility that he could have sinned not knowing who he was. He always knew who he was. So if you start to intertwine these two together with the Holy Ghost put in together with them, it is awesome to see what the Holy Ghost does through these two men going forward. Amen? And the Holy Ghost is the one you're going to see. Listen, the Holy Ghost is the one that conceived inside of Mary to bring forth Jesus.
The Holy Ghost was the one that's with John from his mother's womb. The Holy Ghost is a very integral part of what Christ does, especially after he gets baptized. And we'll go into that probably next week. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to hear my pastor again preach this morning. Lord, I'm excited about it. I've been praying about it all week long. Lord, please anoint him in a very special way. Anoint his strength. Anoint his health. Anoint his voice. Anoint his thoughts. Anoint what he's going to bring to us, Lord. Let us be anointed from you to be ready to hear it. Let our hearts be open, ready for the blessing. And Lord, please, speak through me throughout this teaching of the Holy Ghost. I believe there's so many misconceptions about what the Holy Ghost does, what the Holy Ghost's job is, and what our job is according to what the Holy Ghost wants us to do and what the Holy Ghost means to us. So, Lord, please help us. Help me to learn along the way, too. Lord, help us to study the Bible. Help us to just read what the Bible says and not try to put our own spin on it. Lord, just let us read black and white what the Bible says, and Lord, let us work from there. Lord, please help us in a very special way, and let us have a great church service today. Lord, I'll thank you in advance for it, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.